Hello and welcome to In Depth. The PSA program on Lotus Radio is Sunday morning right around 7:30 a.m. and I am your host, Ian Sorensen. Sorry if I sound a little nasally. The plague has overtaken Lotus Radio. Everyone is sick. But nonetheless, we soldier on, we keep going, and I keep doing these wonderful interviews. And speaking of, my first interview is with Darren Farr. He's the public affairs officer with the VA Sierra Nevada Healthcare System. Darren, how are you, bud?
I'm great. Thanks. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for coming in. It's been a little while. When was the last time you came in? I don't think I myself have interviewed you.
It was probably about 2 years ago.
2 years ago? Okay, yeah. I wasn't in the fold by then, but now I am.
No.
And I'm glad I have you back in. Let's talk about it. Let's get down to brass tacks.
Okay.
How long have you been in this position with this organization? How long have you been involved with the organization in general?
Just over 7 years I've been the public affairs officer at the VA hospital here in Reno. I'm originally from northern Nevada myself. I'm a little town east of here called Battle Mountain.
Beautiful.
Some people have heard of us. Maybe people have passed through, but
definitely.
Yeah. So I grew up here, joined the military after high school, and then, through a bunch of life circumstances, worked my way back here. And I'm happy to be back in northern Nevada, back home. My family and I love the lifestyle here, so we're back. And I've been working here, like I said, 7 years. The hospital itself has been here probably almost 77 years.
77 years.
Yeah, it opened, more than that now, 79 years. It'll be 79. So it'll be 80 years next year that the hospital's been around. It opened in 1939. So long time serving veterans in this area.
Sure.
We serve roughly 120,000 veterans that are in our what we call a catchment area territory in northern Nevada and many counties in northern California as well.
So. All right. So yeah, you're pretty widespread.
Pretty much, yeah. We go as far north as the state line, east as far as Carlin, west as far as almost to Sacramento, just west of Auburn, California, and all the way down south to Hawthorne. So,
okay.
pretty wide territory to cover. So
definitely. So, what kind of things have you been focused on? Have priorities changed? I guess as the organization has gone on.
The VA system kind of patterns itself after the evolution of healthcare in general in this country. So,
right.
You know, when you think back 50 years ago, many of the things that you do on an outpatient procedure now was done with several days in the hospital. You know, even something like getting your tonsils out, right? I mean, that took several days. And a lot of things have been streamlined, so they want you home faster, more comfortable, healed quicker, that kind of thing.
Right.
So we've modeled that too. Like, for example, just this last year alone, we had over 440,000 outpatient visits combined with about 3,900 to 4,000 inpatient stays, you know, in a hospital our size. So the bulk of our majority is outpatient. You know, we do a lot of procedures, a lot of clinical things like that. So focus areas for us recently have changed into we're really focusing on specialized groups of veterans, the returning soldiers and airmen, Marines, and sailors from Operations Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom.
Okay.
And we're focusing a lot more efforts on our women veterans and their specialized needs. Mental health is a big concern. Obviously, suicide prevention is one that we're looking really heavily at. But then we're also looking at areas where we're expanding into that don't just necessarily involve direct health care, but more focused on honoring veterans for their service and enhancing that culture where we know that there are different eras of veterans and they all have their own culture and history. And it's rich, and a lot of it plays into the services that we try to deliver. So, for example, this event we've got coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And you just say veteran, and it kind of covers a wide swath. I mean, you're talking about different kinds of veterans from different wars, different eras.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we still the oldest era we serve right now are the World War II era veterans, all the way up to the current generation. So when you look at it as a breakdown, if you look at a population cohort, for example, the largest, what we call the lion's share of our patients, come from the baby boomers, which is the Vietnam generation, 65 and older. They represent probably close to 2/3 of our patient population nationwide in the VA. You got to recall, I mean, that's part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this event we're coming up into is that this is one of the years that we're celebrating over a 7-year span of the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam era. And this is the 50th anniversary of probably the most tumultuous year in Vietnam campaign, which was 1968. You got to realize that, at that year, there was the Tet Offensive, there was Khe Sanh, there was a lot of important, it was kind of like the pinnacle year for Vietnam involvement. And also at the same time, this was the height, this is where the peak of the number of troops in country hit, just over 450,000 troops, U.S. servicemen and women that were in country in 1968. That was the pinnacle.
That was the highest point.
And, you know, I mean, it's most people in this country are aware of the sacrifices that, took place. I mean, the memorial in D.C. holds the names just over 58,000 U.S. personnel that were killed in action as a result of that long, drawn-out campaign. So this this event we've got coming up, which I'd love to talk about, is one way we're looking at honoring that, service.
Definitely. And let's get into it. That event coming up, it's about roughly a month away?
Yeah, just under a month away from today. So it's March 23rd, Friday evening at the El Dorado. And by the way, we can't give enough thanks to the Carano family for they really helped make this come together with donating the ballroom and, services to help us have this premiere screening of a film.
Okay.
Pretty significant film we're doing that evening. The film was called 84 Charlie Mopic. 84 Charlie was an MOS, a job specialty in the Army at the time. It stood for 84 Charlie Motion Picture Cameraman. So the film was written and directed by a very, very good friend of mine. His name is Patrick Duncan. He is a Vietnam veteran, and this film was a culmination of him writing about his experiences in Vietnam. It's a very, very unique film in that it is all what we call POV-driven. It was revolutionary for its time. Nowadays, it's commonplace to see it on TV where you see one camera and the camera moves and you see everything through the eyes of the cameraman.
Right.
Some examples would be like, you know, Blair Witch Project, those kinds of things. Well, this was avant-garde when this film was made and written in the early 80s. Because the film, without giving it a lot of spoilers, the film is about this cameraman who's embedded with a combat patrol in Vietnam. And you see everything, experience everything, like you're right there. The dialogue, everyone's speaking right to you. So it really, really pulls you into the action of what's going on. The interesting thing about the film that we're going to premiere, so it was written and directed by Patrick Duncan, who is a two-tour Vietnam veteran. The technical advisor is also another Vietnam veteran. So after we do the screening of the film, so we're going to provide, you know, hors d'oeuvres and refreshments. We're going to have the screening of the film. And then we're going to be joined by a panel, which is the writer and director, the technical advisor, producer, and two of the cast members who are going to talk about their experiences of making this film, why it's important for veterans to tell their stories in many ways and forms. But the interesting thing that I know, having spoken to Patrick about this, a standard premiere screening you would for a film, you'd have a VIP audience that you invite, you know. In this particular one, the VIPs are our Vietnam veterans and their families that we want to come and experience this. The main reason why we want them to bring their families and their loved ones, and this is something I can personally speak to. My own father is a Vietnam veteran, and I'm bringing him out for this experience. I'm very proud to have him come out and join us. And I'll tell you why, because Patrick and I had some conversations about this. The interesting idea behind this film is that most of the Vietnam veterans in attendance who will be watching it, they won't be shocked or blown away by what's revealed in the film. But it's also a conversation starter because their family members are going to be able to witness and see and hear and feel the experiences that these men and women went through that they can't talk about to this day. They can't properly describe. Mm-hmm. And this will be a real eye-opener, I think, for a lot of the families to witness that and see it and understand the pure hubris of what it is that, the film contains. I could tell you from personal experience, having talked with my father, you know, like any child growing up, I wanted to know stories about what was it like. He couldn't really speak to me about those things until a certain thing happened in my life. And that is once I had become a combat veteran in the Marine Corps, then we actually had kind of an equal ground to speak right. to experiences. And he didn't have to explain as much to me because I grasped the concepts.
It's hard to kind of empathize if you haven't been in that environment.
It is. It's an emotional investment, you know, mentally. And you really can't. It's kind of like when somebody tells you a story, you're going to picture it one way in your head, mm-hmm. right? Depending on the narrative that they give you, the adjectives, the descriptives, those kinds of things. It's never quite fully like actually having seen it yourself and relating to that experience. Mm-hmm. I could tell you a story about a great baseball game I went and watched live, but if you'd never been to a baseball game, you really aren't going to grasp all of that. So yeah. This film gives that, I think it really bridges that gap.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. So people are bringing their families. Are people able to kind of buy tickets to this? How does that work?
It's free. The price has already been paid.
Free.
I mean, that's what these men and women serve for. We shouldn't be charging them for something
right.
like this. And so, no, it's been through the wonderful donation and efforts of the Disabled American Veterans Chapter 1, the VA Hospital, the wonderful Carano family in the El Dorado Hotel, and the committee that I put together to help put this event together, which, by the way, has one of your own, Jim McLean,
My
committee. My committee is made up of seven individuals who are all Vietnam veterans themselves. And so I consulted with them because I said, I want to do an event that honors your generation and in this time. And I proposed my idea, and they all jumped in with both feet and said, yeah, this is a fantastic idea.
Wonderful.
I had them screen the film to make sure that I wasn't going to be, you know, off base or offensive. And while the material that's contained in the film, I mean, it goes without question, it takes place in Vietnam, so you can imagine what goes on. But it's important. It needs to be spoken.
Yeah.
It needs to be talked about. And it needs to be seen by a lot of people who have an emotional connection to a Vietnam veteran.
Definitely. So as far as, I guess as far as PTSD goes, mm-hmm. is there any fear or tension about
sure that was obviously that
film?
Was one of our primary concerns,
right?
And having talked with these men on my committee, and all of them have various experiences when they were there in Vietnam, and they will tell you most of the Vietnam veterans are going to tell you that they're either A, just flat not going to come. They won't watch the video because they don't watch any movies about Vietnam. It's too painful for them.
Right.
So the likelihood that you're going to have somebody who's kind of walking into it unaware is very remote. At the same time, we also have about a dozen mental health counselors on standby at the event should the need arise. Because, emotionally, everyone has their own triggers.
Right.
And this could be something that could be very emotional for some of these men and women in attendance. And we anticipate that. But the great thing is it gets that conversation started, right? And the counselors are there to talk about what they're seeing and witnessing. And it's even more important for our counselors to really see and grasp why that particular moment in the film was emotional for that person, because they see it for their own eyes and they can talk about and maybe have a little shorter of a bridge between understanding and comprehension. And that helps. That goes a long way, which is why the art itself, whether painting, drawing, film writing, photography, is so important, because it's expressive. And this is what Patrick will talk about in the panel, is that he told his story, and he wants other veterans to tell their story, because even through the form of art, which can be cathartic, it gets that emotions out. It's a very good release it's a healthy release for those
Definitely.
Emotions.
I mean, if you haven't faced that kind of, if you're just kind of holding it inside and you're not thinking about it because it happened so long ago or was so painful, maybe you do need to have that conversation, as painful as it might be.
Think about how most art is born. It's an emotional experience, right? You want to express whatever it's joy, pain, sorrow, you name it. These are emotions that these guys have plugged into their memories. I say guys, I mean men and women. Mm-hmm. But they got to get it out. They got to talk about it. And sometimes it's not easy, as you know, with two human beings, especially if they have emotional attachment to each other, to talk one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can give them an in-between, like a film that somebody wrote and directed,
something
and it's his experience. But it helps the whole generation. So, Friday night, March 23rd, doors open at 5 p.m. It's in the Crystal Ballroom. If you can join us, we would love to have you. Please share this with any Vietnam veteran you know that you think would be important for them to come. Because I think like you and I discussed earlier, the road to healing starts with having a conversation.
Exactly.
And having an open conversation. And we want to be able to offer this film and this experience and this night to honor them, because it's a red carpet, you know, the whole bit, VIP experience. One that they never got when these guys came home.
Definitely not.
Right? And now we're honoring them, and the night's about them and about their stories. So please come and talk to the cast and crew, get to know each other, and they have shared experiences and the common bond, and the family members can really see what it is these men and women went through in the prime of their youth, and now they're all in their 60s and 70s, and it's way past time to have that conversation.
Definitely, and you're helping them do that, so thank you for that.
I am. In fact, like I said, I have a personal invested interest in here. I'm bringing my own father out, who, by the way, is one of those guys who does not watch movies about Vietnam.
Right.
And
that's really great that he's willing to do this.
Well, it's brave. He's doing it because I'm asking him to.
Yeah.
You know, I had to coax him out with the trip out here to come see his grandkids too. So I had to sweeten the pot.
There's that. Yeah, yeah. A little cherry on the sundae.
Yeah. Exactly.
There we go. Well, thank you so much, Darren Farr from the VA Sierra Nevada Healthcare System. This is a wonderful event, really inspired, and I thank you for coming in and talking about it.
My pleasure. Thanks again.